Okay, hi everyone. Welcome to the case study monthly meeting. This is actually a second monthly meeting that we're going to have each month to accommodate the European audience, because the time that we were using before was good for U.S. and Australia, New Zealand, but not so good for European audiences. So we're having a second monthly group call each month. And these calls are just an opportunity for us to come together, and you can ask any questions you want. We'll go, as long as there's questions, we'll ask. If people don't have questions, everyone's happy, then the meeting won't run too long. So it's entirely up to you. If you do have questions, you can press 1. Now, we've got a couple of the European coaches are on, and we'll bring them in to say hi. And we also have a special guest that I'd like to introduce to you, a new coach from the U.S. named Neil, which we're going to bring on also in a minute. And before we do, I just want to talk about something that I've just started experimenting with, and that is a magnesium spray on your skin. I interviewed this doctor recently, Dr. Dean, about magnesium. She's been studying magnesium for 20 years, and she's written several books about it. And I said, why did you spend so much time studying magnesium, of all things? And she basically explained to me that in order for our bodies to make energy, that basically you need magnesium, is the bottom line. Without getting too much into the chemistry, you need magnesium. Now, there's no magnesium in our food, pretty much, because there's no magnesium in the soil anymore, and most of our food is processed. Now, if you're eating green leafy vegetables, the green in the greens is going to have magnesium in it, because in the center of chlorophyll, which is what makes green leafy vegetables green, in the center of that, of a chlorophyll molecule is magnesium. So if you're eating live greens, you're going to get, or any kind of greens, you're going to get magnesium, but most of us don't do that. So we're not getting magnesium, we're losing magnesium. And when your fat programs are on and your insulin resistance, you're also not getting magnesium into your cells. You're not absorbing magnesium. And so for all of these reasons, we're very severely magnesium deficient. And that means that our bodies are not able to create energy, the energy for movement, and that makes us tired. So if you're tired all the time, what are you going to do? You're going to eat junk food. So you create this vicious cycle where you're eating junk food all the time because you just don't have the energy, because you don't have enough magnesium, and then that creates this vicious metabolic syndrome where you're not able to absorb magnesium because you become more and more insulin resistant, and you need the cells to listen to insulin in order to allow magnesium into the cell. So your cells can go into this kind of chronic starvation for magnesium, and you just are hungry all the time. You just keep gaining and gaining weight. Now, she says taking magnesium supplements is not necessarily the answer. She's found that a typical supplement, only 4% of it will be absorbed. The rest of it just goes right through you and acts as a laxative. So that's not the answer. What she has found is a magnesium spray on your skin gets absorbed into your blood and is very highly absorbed into your cells, and that's the best way to get magnesium into your body. So I went to the health food store, and I got this magnesium spray. And basically it's a magnesium salt, and you can taste it. It tastes salty. And I've been spraying it on my body in the morning, and I have a lot more energy. I can't describe it, but I just feel there's little things like, typically, how in the afternoons, like 3 o'clock, you're tired, you need a snack to keep going. I'm not getting that anymore. I'm not getting that thing where I need a snack to keep going. It's changing the way my body's functioning. And so I've been spraying this on a daily basis. And so I would encourage all of you to just go to the health food store, ask for a magnesium spray. Most health food stores are pretty onto it. And just spray it on your body, maybe 10, 20 sprays, 30 sprays, and rub it into your body and let it absorb into your skin. So that's just a little tip from this week from some interviews we've done. So what I'd like to do now is I'd like to introduce you to a really exceptional person who's a new coach for us and has an amazing story himself. His name is Neilan Hightower. And he's a very engaging person, and I'm sure you'll love meeting him. So let's just bring Neil in for a quick chat. So, Neil, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Hey, Neil, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Yeah, great. Well, welcome to the monthly meeting. I wanted to introduce you to everyone. So Neil's going to be a new coach for us. And then, just talk about your own story. You've got a great success story. Neil's lost over 100 pounds himself and, is a successful coach and motivator throughout the world. And, so I wonder if you could just tell me a little bit about your story.
Yeah, well, back when I started, this was back about 5 years ago, and I'd struggled with my weight my entire life. So this is back in 2007, and I was in a financial mess. I was bankrupt. I had sleep apnea, so I was never getting a full night's sleep, and I had fatty liver disease just from being so overweight. And I was just really down and out. And I had a 2.5-year-old boy at home and then a 4-week-old son at home as well. And I was just a wreck. I was just a mess. And I knew I had to do something, but I didn't know what. And unlike a lot of the folks that we help, I had no motivation. I had very little inspiration and motivation. I was just, there wasn't much that I could do. And so when I started, I just had to take little tiny little baby steps, and I just had to just add one little thing. That was probably the most valuable thing in my transformation, was the adding principle, because I wasn't prepared to give up anything. I needed my stuff. I needed my food and my beer and my, that was all I had at that point. And I was definitely using food to help, try to self-medicate myself. And so,
Neil, I just want to say I very much relate to everything you're saying, just being in that situation where you have no hope, no motivation, no energy. That's the sleep apnea thing just killing you, and being in that same situation. I know you said something once when I was talking to you that it's just such good advice that you gave to people. You said, if you could just do one thing, just drink more water. You just had like that one. And I've told people that in the past. Just drink more water. Just start there. What could be easier than that? Just do that one thing. And that one thing is just, to me, is tremendous advice. And short of, in addition to that, listening to the evening visualization. If you just do those two things, drink more water and listen to the evening visualization, those two things are just such tremendous things that set the stage. So I just so identify with that place that you're at where you just, have no energy, no motivation, and that concept of adding is really what comes into play and what works. And that idea of just adding, just drinking more water, that to me was just really brilliant.
Right, and that was the first thing that I added. And you can see from where I was at, a diet was out of the question. I mean, because a diet takes discipline, and it takes some willpower, and it takes some organization. You got to get everything together. And I just wasn't there. I just wasn't in a place where I could do that. But I could add water. To me that seemed easy. So every step of the way, I kept asking myself, what would I do if this were easy? What would this look like if it were easy? And so that was the first thing. If it were easy, I would only add things. Well, then what would you add? Well, I knew enough that I needed to drink water. I knew that I was drinking too much diet soda and beer, and I wasn't getting any water in. And so I started adding the water. And, of course, and I find this with a lot of the clients that we have. I've been finding that a lot of folks are, they're taking their EFAs and they're taking their chia seeds and they're doing this and they're doing that. And then you start asking questions and you realize, well, some of these folks are only getting in, 2-3 cups of water in a day.
Yeah.
Well, before we go get into all the psychological issues and before we go getting into any potential traumas and figure out what kind of brand of, essential fatty acids to take, well, let's start drinking some water.
I remember when we did the step-by-step class, you and I, a year and a half ago, that was the first thing I put on the checklist after talking. I said, wake up in the morning, drink two or three glasses of water. Just do it right there. Start your day off hydrating yourself.
Right when you get out of bed. I mean, just right when your feet hit the ground and you get out of bed. I tell people, keep a glass by your bed.
Yeah.
Drink that very first thing.
Yeah. So you started adding more water, and then you started finding other things that you could do. It gave you more energy. And what happened from there?
Well, the thing is, what I found was that, so when I started adding a little water, lo and behold, I started feeling a little bit better, right? Because now I'm hydrated, actually. And from that place, I was a little more empowered. I had a little more strength. I had a little more energy. I had a little more desire and ability to make another move forward. And so the next thing I added was some fruit. And it kept going just like that. I would just add one little thing and add one little thing and one little thing. And from each thing that I added, I was feeling a little bit better and a little bit better. And the decisions became easier and easier to make. And so nothing ever felt difficult to me. It all just felt easier and easier and easier until, you know, you fast forward years down the road and yeah, I exercise now, sure. And I love it. I enjoy it. It's one of the, actually, as soon as I get off this call, I'm going over and going hiking up and down a mountain that's nearby. But to think about that 5 years ago, oh God, if somebody told me that that's what I needed to go do, I'd just hung up the phone and said, I'm not doing this, you know, but you get to a place where you feel more and more empowered. And these things become easier and easier and easier to do. And so, you know, just start. All you can do is start from where you're at. You know, you can't start from where I'm at. I can't start from where you're at. All these folks can do is start from where they're at and start adding little things. And it gets easier and easier and easier as you go. And then you build up, you know, you build up on all of your successes.
I think, you know, this. Not only are you more empowered, you literally have more power. What happens is you do develop more energy. Your metabolism, your chemistry changes, and you have more energy. So when you try to project a lifestyle of being active and happy when you're in a situation where your body's wanting to hold on to weight and you're overwhelmed, you can't project being into that situation and imagining it being pleasant, but what you don't realize is how different you're going to feel inside your body and how different your body's going to be and how much more energy and power you are going to have when you get to that place. And I like to, with me, actually, we actually filmed an exercise video. We're doing a Gabriel Method Fitness video this weekend, and they're short. They're four minute exercises using the concept of this get thin or get eaten adaptation where you're running away from a predator type of thing. But the thing is, I had to do it like 8 times. So I was exercising all day, and like I could barely walk today, but just feeling great while I was doing it. You know, it was a beautiful, sunny day, 90 degrees over here, and running on the beach, and you know, doing all these things. I was loving every minute of it. Whereas exactly what you say for me would have been, you know, 10 years ago, that would have been just the most horrendous thought in the world. But just feeling so alive is really what happens after a while. When you get to a place where you've changed that chemistry, you just feel so incredibly alive. And so, you know, your story just so much dovetails with my own experience. And that's why I just think you're going to be such an incredible coach for us. And your depth of knowledge is also really, really awesome. So I just think I think people are just going to be really happy. So I'm happy to be able to introduce you to the listeners that we have on this call. And everybody that's listening, you're going to be hearing a lot more from Neil and his wisdom and his advice. So stay tuned for that.
Well, so, thanks a lot for having me here, John. I've really enjoyed working with all the people so far. It's just been a great experience for me.
Yeah, and we're getting a lot of really positive feedback, too. So thanks very much for being on the call, Neil, and let's keep going.
Okay, you're welcome.
All right, take care. Okay, so I just want to bring out, we'll just touch base with some of the European coaches. We've got Desiree and Mary Lane here. So maybe Desiree, if you got a second, let's bring her in and just touch base and see how things are going.
Hi, John.
Desiree, you there? Hi, how are you?
Yeah. Good to talk to you. Yeah, pretty good. Thank you.
Yeah, good. Good. What's happening over there?
Ooh, a lot. I've been speaking to a lot of clients, and it's such amazing work. I keep getting these wonderful people to work with. Where do you find them? it truly feels like a blessing to be able to do this work and work with so many different people.
And you've been doing this now a couple of months now, we're 2 months into this for, you know, the people that had started from day one. And people that have just joined us, it's still going to run for 6 months for the people that just joined us, but there were people that started 2 months ago. And so how are you finding the calls that you're having with the people that you've been working with for a couple of months?
Yeah, what struck me most with every second month call that I do is how very vibrant the people look. They all go through such a transformation, most of them without realizing it. So I'll ask them, so how has the past month been? Well, it was so-so, and I get them talking, and they come with all these wins that they're not even aware of. And from feedback, I see you look so vibrant and healthy and wonderful. So big things happen immediately. Maybe not so much in losing the weight. That really takes time. You really need to allow yourself the time to let go of the weight. But the emotional changes or the mental changes these people go through are just amazing. So that's always good to see. Yeah.
Great. Anything you want to share with our listeners? Any tips, any thoughts after working with the people that you're working with?
My biggest tip would be to really allow yourself the time to change. Take baby steps. People still are focusing on a diet approach, and this is really not a diet. Anything that you build up over I don't know how many years, realistically, it takes time to change around. And it does start with adding the nutrients. So I'm really on the same page with what Neil just said. Take adding things one step at a time. Listen to the suggestions that you get through the behavioral method and allow yourself the time, again, to just take tiny baby steps. And for me, my personal process, it's taken 10 months to really feel a change after adding all the nutrients step by step by step. I didn't do it all at once.
I think that the biggest mistake people can make is not recognizing that it's working, because they're used to going and cutting their calories down to 1,500 calories a day and losing 10 pounds in 10 days and then having a plateau and fighting it and holding on to it as long as possible and have a rebound. That's what people are used to. This is changing your body's chemistry, and it's a big thing. I mean, it's a big, big thing to change your body's chemistry so that it's more sensitive to insulin and the hormone leptin, so your body knows how much extra weight you're carrying. Because for most people, I would say for almost everyone, 99% of people that have a weight problem have a condition called leptin resistance, where their brain actually doesn't know how much fat you have on your body. It actually does not know. In some cases, you could be 400 pounds and your brain actually thinks you have no fat on your body. So it's going to act accordingly. It's going to slow your metabolism. It's going to make you hungry all the time. And that's what's going on. That takes time to change. But when you do change it, your brain goes, my God, where did all this fat come from? And it acts accordingly in that case. And it starts going, well, hang on a second. Let's stop eating. Let's stop being hungry. Let's get rid of some of this. So that working with your body's chemistry and your body's survival programs, it takes time. But when you do it, it's miraculous. And you hear these stories after stories of people that have had miraculous recoveries by dealing with the real issues, and there's just always the same common themes. I had to deal with the emotional issue. I didn't want to. I was looking for diets. I was thinking of lap band surgery, but I finally did, and now I'm okay. I had to start nourishing my body. You know, I wasn't ready to do it. I was thinking in terms of diet. I started to do it, and this momentum happened. So when I talk to people sometimes, and they say, well, you know, I'm just not I haven't lost any weight yet, but then they say, I used to have these really bad junk food cravings at 3 o'clock, and I don't have that anymore. And sometimes I'm not hungry. What's wrong with me? What's going on? I say, well, those are the telltale signs that your chemistry is changing, that your brain's going, well, hang on, we've got too much weight on our body. Let's do something. And then it takes a little bit of time. But then once that happens, those are the telltale signs that the weight loss is not far off. So, you know, you're seeing people with more that are more vibrant. That's always a good indication.
Yeah, it's funny. That's what I hear a lot. First thing to go, they don't. Sugar is not as appealing anymore. You know, I hear a lot of people that the first things that I hear is that sugar is not as appealing anymore. I speak to a lot of people who are used to eating lollipops, for instance.
Exactly. If people say that, you know, sugar is not appealing anymore, then that's the first sign. Yeah. Good. Yeah. Okay.
Very proud of the people that I work with. I really am.
Yeah.
They're doing such a good job. So keep it up, guys. I'm proud of you.
Okay. Excellent. Okay. All right. So thanks very much for joining us, Desiree. And we're gonna start taking some calls. Now, remember, if you want to talk to us, press 1 And so we know that your hand's up, and then we'll come and one of the moderators will talk to you. So we only have a couple of questions so far. So if you want to talk to us, you will have the opportunity. But we'll take our first call right now from Sarah in Brisbane.
Hello.
Hi, Sarah. How are you?
I'm good. We chatted during the week, and it was a real pleasure to finally touch base with you. I just find it amazing listening to you just now, and feel like you guys have been reading my mind, because everything you've been talking about is exactly where I am at the moment. And
okay.
So my question is about xylitol, actually. I am someone that has used sugar as a habit, really, and so I am at a point where I'm no longer really craving it, but there are certain things that I want to put sweetener in, and especially for my two small children. And so through yourself, I got introduced to xylitol, but I'm kind of a bit confused about it, because it, if you're looking at the packaging, it doesn't really tell you a lot about it, and I know it's a sugar alcohol, but I just wanted to hear what you had to say about why is it better and how does it affect the body.
Okay. What are you putting it on, by the way?
I'm using it in coffee mainly. I just cannot have my proper coffee without a sweetener in it at the moment. And I'm looking at using it in cooking instead of normal white sugar. So, like, if I make cupcakes for the kids, for example, I want to try and substitute that instead, because I want to try and introduce my kids to a better way of living without forcing it on them. So, without their knowledge.
Okay, so xylitol is certainly infinitely better than table sugar, but it's not it's not the answer to everyone. You know, it's not perfect. It's not, but it's infinitely better than sugar. So it is a sugar alcohol. What makes it better, the main thing that makes it better is that it does not raise your insulin levels the same way table sugar does. And insulin again is, I'm sorry?
I just said excellent, sorry.
Yeah. So insulin, again, is your fat storage hormone. And when you raise your insulin levels, your body goes into fat storage mode, and then your blood sugar plummets, and then you're hungry again. And so so that's typically the problem with sugar, and it creates a really bad scenario. So xylitol is not going to do that. Xylitol is a natural sweetener made usually from corn cobs and birch bark. That's what they typically farm it from. It is processed. And if you take too much of it, you might get diarrhea. You might get kind of like indigestion type of things. And it can kind of cause certain conditions if you have a whole lot of it that can cause you to gain weight. Not anywhere near like table sugar, but in a very roundabout way through the process of the liver, it can cause some problems. But taking a little bit in your coffee is perfect. Baking with it as opposed to table sugar, absolutely. And as far as taste, it works really, really well. What I usually do is I combine coconut palm sugar, which is more unprocessed and easier to digest. I'll combine that with xylitol. So I'll take a...
That was my next question. It will be basically because what you're saying about the digestion issues with xylitol is something that everyone keeps rambling on at me. I've not had any problems, to be quite honest, but I did wonder how it compared to using something like palm sugar, but you've just answered that by mixing the two. You're kind of getting, best of both worlds. I can't stand stevia. I just have tried and it's
evil. Stevia, it's a shame, but, you know, I'll tell you the only place that you can have stevia, if you combine, and you don't need to do this, but I've done this a couple of times. I don't normally do it because I hate stevia too, but I was looking for a combination of the three sweeteners where you could use stevia to make the combined sweetness sweeter without the bitter. And if you use it in a ratio of 1 tablespoon of xylitol, 1 tablespoon coconut palm sugar, 1 pinch of stevia, that little pinch of stevia will make the net amount of sugar that you need less without the overwhelming bitter taste.
That's excellent, because I do find that with all the adding that I'm doing into my life right now, the one thing that I found has been going has been the sugar cravings, but the habit of it is certainly still there,
right.
And I'm just not prepared to
right.
treat that. Like with all the dieting I've done over my life,
right.
That
well,
is the
this
one
is a perfect way to do
been,
it.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is a part of like when we make our orange and almond cake, you know, which is in our recipe book, mm-hmm. and you look at that, what that is, I mean, there's no wheat in it, so, you know, there's nothing that's elevating yeah. your insulin levels. There's almonds, eggs,
no.
and oranges, and xylitol. That's all it is. And
that's
yeah,
pretty
it,
much
look,
how
it's,
I make my muffins anyway. Yeah, I use a very similar recipe to make cupcakes for the kids, but it's
yeah,
the
no,
sugar
no.
content that is bothering me.
Right. Now, I'm experimenting with something else right now. I'm onto this new thing, which is chia bran. When I first saw chia bran, I said, why would anyone want chia bran? Because what chia bran is it's everything but the oil of chia seeds. Now, the thing about chia seeds, the whole benefit of chia seeds is the oil, because it's got omega-3 fatty acids, right?
Yes.
So I'm looking at this container or this package. It says chia bran, and I'm thinking to myself, like, why would somebody buy chia bran? So, of course, I had to buy it, right, to figure out why, because that's just the way my head works, right? So I buy this chia bran, and what I discovered about it is it's got some really interesting properties. It kind of has this thick feel like oats. And I haven't baked with it yet, but I'm fairly certain you could bake with it. And first of all, you don't have to worry about the fact that there's, you're corrupting an oil, because there's no oils in it. So it's, and what it's composed of is just bran and protein. It's 20% protein, so it's very, very high protein. And, wow. And the rest is just bran that's just fiber. So it doesn't act like a grain where it elevates your insulin levels at all. And it's just protein and fiber. Now, and the properties of it are, it feels like, I'll tell you exactly what it's like, instant oatmeal. You know, but not refined instant oatmeal, so it's not like a fine powder,
yes.
but it's got this, you can make, like, if you just take a bowl of chia bran and some hot water, you've got instant oatmeal. And it's all this protein.
I tried to do that with my chia already.
What's that?
I've started grounding my chia since you recommended it, and we bought a
yeah.
coffee grinder, and I make a chia porridge with my fresh LSA as well. It kind of goes a bit like sago, a bit sort of gelatinous, but it is really
yeah.
nice, and I no longer use oats or anything.
Yeah, well, try this also, because you're going to get a little bit too much chia omega-3 if you have a whole bowl of this. This you can have a whole bowl of. And
wow.
and just try it, because again, all it is just fiber and protein. So if you had a bowl, you can make a bowl of this, put it as if it was instant oatmeal, put a little hot water in it, and then mix some fruit, or, you know, for your kids, you know, you can try cinnamon and xylitol or something like that. Then sprinkle a little ground chia seeds on top for the omega-3 benefit of it.
Awesome.
And nuts and seeds or whatever. You got something really nice. What I usually do with it is I just take chia bran and tahini and then ground chia seeds. So it's mostly chia bran. Then it's maybe a tablespoon of tahini and then a tablespoon of ground chia seeds. And then I'll either put coconut water in there, because that's already sweet, and that's perfect for
yeah.
me. Or I'll take water and put a little bit of either fruit or coconut palm sugar in there, and that's a nice, like, kind of like a breakfast muesli type thing. You have to play around with it, get the right water.
Sounds perfect.
It sucks up the water really, really bit.
Yeah.
So you got to play with it. But that's something. And I would be curious if you're baking, experimenting with for kids. I would be curious if you tried a muffin using that as the kind of like the grain part of it.
I will keep my eye open for it, and I'll let you know.
Yeah. Chia bran. Yeah, so keep
yes.
me posted. I'm still working on it.
I will.
I'm hearing tomorrow. Let's go.
Thanks
okay,
a lot,
cool.
John.
My pleasure.
Okay, bye.
Take care. Bye. Okay, so again, if you have any questions, press 1, and we'll take them. We've got one other caller here that I'm going to bring on right now. It's Rosa from Melbourne. Rosa, are you there?
Hello.
Hi, Rosa.
Hi, John.
How you doing?
Hello, yes, I'm here.
Yeah, Hi, how are you?
I'm good, John, and you?
Yeah, really good. How can I help you?
I was listening to you and Neil talking about the you know, drinking the water.
Yeah.
I did read something online once about you know, drinking too much water is not really good for the body because it depletes a lot of the minerals. Is that true?
Yeah. It is and it isn't. So what you do. That's a good question. So this lady, this magnesium lady, what she suggested is you, when you drink water, you should take for every, what did she say, every pint, so every couple of, for every two glasses of water, you should put in a teaspoon of healthy salt. So what's healthy salt? Healthy salt is sea salt, Himalayan salt, volcanic salt, Celtic salt. Not table salt, but salt that has lots of trace minerals in it.
Okay, that sounds interesting.
Yeah. So there's no question that the water is essential, and that you, and then in my mind, you can't drink too much water. But you're right about the minerals, and that's an issue. So the other really good way to get minerals, and what I'm doing is with this magnesium spray, because this magnesium spray is a salt that's got lots of minerals and zinc and all, and it's got zinc in it, by the way, which we don't have much of in Australia, zinc. So the combination of the two, like getting a magnesium spray plus putting a teaspoon of healthy salt for every 2 to 3 cups of water, that ratio is a good way to replenish your salts.
Okay, yeah, that sounds good. I might have to go to the health shop tomorrow and ask for that magnesium spray.
Yeah, do you have a healthy salt?
I can get one from the health shop as well, is that correct?
You should have that, yes, and you can. And you should have that anyway, you should have, because that should be your salt. But anytime you want salt,
okay. Well,
on
the
anything,
thing is, because we don't use salt or sugar in our house.
All right. Well, you should use salt. That's what I'm exactly what I'm saying is you should use salt, but you should use healthy salt. You should use salt because you need. You see, the reason why we crave salt is because we crave minerals, and we can't. Our tongue can't differentiate between a healthy salt and an unhealthy salt. So we crave salt all the time because we crave minerals, but an unhealthy salt doesn't have the minerals. So it creates a vicious cycle in your body. So, but a healthy salt is something that you actually should add for health benefits. And
that's interesting because being Italian, I do a lot of cooking. I don't use salt at all.
Yeah, that's got to be a real bummer. You know, I mean, if you're making pasta and or pasta sauce and you're not.
I never use any salt. At all, and
that's very Pritikin. You're like I remember when I used to be on the Pritikin diet, and just like everything was just so bland. You know, he had tomato sauce that had no salt, and pasta sauce that had no salt, and nothing had any salt.
Yeah,
in
no,
it.
I just
it
don't.
Like
I just don't like it. I find that if I do have, you know, just a little bit of salt, if I'm going out or something like that, I'm always forever drinking a lot of water afterwards.
Yeah. Well, healthy salt's going to have a different effect on you. Okay, healthy salt will have a different effect on you. So
you think that I should put a little bit of that healthy salt in my cooking?
Yeah, I do, and I think you should put it in your water too. It's a great way to get
trace. That's probably why when it comes to, like, you know, 4 o'clock or something like that in the afternoon, I'm sort of like craving something salty, not sweet, you know, bits and pieces.
Okay, you're craving, yeah. Well, it could be a combination of also being exhausted and stressed out, and that's just what your body targets as a quick fix is something savory. So it could be a combination of things.
Yes.
So if you're getting that afternoon craving in general, it would be good for you to kind of like have a snack around 3 o'clock, something healthy around 3 o'clock. But yeah, definitely put some kind of salt. Put some healthy salt in your cooking and in a little bit in your water. It's like Himalayan salt's got 84 trace minerals. It doesn't have much iodine. So Celtic salt has a lot of iodine. There's a really good one from New Zealand that's volcanic salt. It smells like sulfur, but the fact of the matter is that when you taste it, you just can't get enough of it. And the sulfur helps your body detoxify. It helps your body lose weight.
Okay, sounds good. I have to try. I'll go and buy all that tomorrow.
Okay, cool. All right. Keep
Thanks.
Posted.
I'll speak to you soon.
My pleasure. See you, Rosa.
Thanks.
Okay. Again, press 1 if you want to talk to me. This is why I'm here. And our next caller is Kate from Canada.
Hello.
Hi, Kate.
Hi. I've called you a couple of times, but the first thing I wanted to say or ask was whether or not you'd ever considered having the coaches, maybe even just in the first month or two, talk to the people like us every 2 weeks rather than once a month. Because what I'm finding is that there's so many changes happening. There's so many things going on that I feel overwhelmed. And it's like the first session was wonderful, and I feel like the coach got to know me. And then even a short session or email or something could help with all of the things and changes that I feel and emotions that I feel that are going on. The monthly seems like a really long time. I know I can talk to you, but I don't have the hour to kind of give you the whole background that I did with the coach.
Yeah.
And it's I just wondered if you ever thought of that, because I do find, at least in the early stages, I'm overwhelmed by what's happening.
Yeah. Well, we're looking for all types of different ways to create more contact. Even just someone just calling once a week and touching in, even if it's not the coach, but just calling in once a week and touching base. And so we are actually looking at that right now. I've been meeting with my organizers to figure out different ways to do that. But what I would say to you is to be really, really clear when you have your session with your coach, to be really, really clear what the action steps are for that month, and just focus on those action steps and don't get overwhelmed. And the action steps in any one month shouldn't be too many things: drinking more water, listening to this morning and evening visualization CD, things like that. Try not to just get everything all at once. That's why we're doing this over a 6 month period, so that those habits really solidify, and then you can move on. So whatever your coach told you the first month, whatever morning and evening visualization and whatever simple, just a couple of things, don't worry about anything else but that. Just focus on that. All this other stuff we're talking about, shea bran, and we're talking about salt, and we're talking about magnesium sprays. And this is all good stuff, just if something sticks. But don't focus on it. Don't try to grab it all. Don't try to take it all. The only things you need to focus on are just those simple couple of steps that you've worked on with your coach.
Well,
does that make sense?
Yes, and then really that's what I've been doing, but I've also been reading your book, and I've read your book, and I'm trying to, it helps to understand and put everything in context. And I really haven't been doing a lot different from that. I mean, I'm not trying to go gung-ho into the change of diet and everything. I'm taking it fairly gradually, but I guess emotionally there's just so much there seems to be so much coming out. If it was an email or something that you could, contact your coach with and just say, what about this, or, what do I do?
Absolutely.
Okay, the second question I had to do with when you talk about beef in the book, and I know and I've read this before that the grass-fed beef is really the only beef that you should eat, and that's really hard. I think that's hard to find in North America. Certainly hard to find in Canada.
A couple of things I want to say about that. I don't want to make it. Where you get into trouble is where you say it's the only thing you should eat, because when you say that, it sets you up. You're out in a restaurant, you want to get a steak and you can't, right? Because you've got in your head it's the only thing you should eat. So I would reframe that. I would say that grass fed is better for you. Okay, let's say that.
Okay.
Because as soon as you say that, it changes the dynamic. It changes the tension. It changes the overwhelmingness. You just know that grass-fed's better for you. So if you can eat grass-fed, great. And that's exactly the way it is for me. I know that grass-fed's better for me. And if I can eat it, if it's around, great. Otherwise, I'm going to have a steak at a restaurant. Actually, I'm not really a steak eater, to tell you the truth. But if it's a meat that I'm going to be eating, if it's grass-fed, great. If it's not, then it's not as good. And so that's the way I'd like you to look at it.
Okay, how about, what I was going to say is, how about canned meat? Because, there's canned corned beef that comes from New Zealand that I believe is grass-fed. And I've always wondered about, is the canned meat okay? I'm not a big beef eater either, but I'm just like that variety.
Yeah, well, it's probably in some ways it's better. Obviously, it's better because the fat's better and because it's got less pesticides and less hormones, and so yeah, it is better. What happens in the canning process and what happens when meat interacts with a can is another story, and I don't think anybody has the answer to that. But there's certainly pretty much at every health food store I've seen, including the ones in North America, in the frozen section, they're going to have grass-fed beef.
So where I live, maybe just a dearth where I live. So,
maybe,
yeah,
you might want to look online. I know, for example, you can get wild salmon shipped to you anywhere in the world, and it ends up being from Alaska, and it ends up being a very reasonable price. I wouldn't be surprised if you looked online and they had wild, or they had grass-fed meat that was shipped frozen anywhere in the world. It arrives in like a FedEx package with a frozen, with a refrigerated kind of thing component to it.
Never even thought of that one. Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
So have a look at that. But please, I can already see where you're getting into trouble. And it's so ingrained in us, we don't even notice it ourselves. So I have to point it out to you. But in the way you frame that statement, it's the only meat you should eat. I can already see how you're going to get into a lot of trouble with that. And it's just going to cause you more stress, and that stress is going to cause you problems. More problems than the conventionally farmed meat, I can tell you that, is the stress of thinking it's the only thing you should eat. So just know that grass-fed's better if you can get it, and if you can't get it, then that's fine, but you know that if you can get it, it's better.
Right. Okay.
Makes sense?
Right. Yeah. Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
Good.
Okay. All right.
Hey.
The only other problem I have is patience with the program, because you do want to have it happen overnight. And
I understand, but that's the whole reason why we're doing it in a 6-month way like this, is to make it right, get it right, and make it stick.
Yep, and you're doing a good job. Thank you.
I appreciate that, but because we found so many times that this is what's necessary, because it is so different what's happening to your body than the typical deprivation thing that we've all tried, and it's just such limited results and such immediate rebounds, and so that's why we're doing it over this gradual process.
And I can see it. I mean, I can see the changes happening, and it's
right.
They're in a way they're scary, but it's so interesting. I mean, I'd like it to attach to the weight loss, but because the program is set up well, I can see that I just have to keep telling myself it will happen. It will happen. So.
Yeah. Well, even the fact that you say it's scary tells me that you're letting go of some serious issues, and you're dealing with real issues. Because most people never get to that point where they realize that there is a scary component to totally transforming your body and having that change that affects many aspects of your life. So just acknowledging that is much further than most people ever get. When they're on a conventional diet.
I hope not, because I won't lose weight.
Yeah. Okay.
But I'm working on it. Okay. Thank
Great.
You.
Well, let's keep going. Okay.
Okay, bye.
Take care. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, let's talk to Kayleen in Rockhampton. Kayleen,
okay. Hi, John. How are you?
Yeah, great. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. I've got a question about my work stress.
Yeah.
I had like 2 weeks vacation time, and it was really good. I had, no stress or anything like that. And, I was doing really well with, all my, meal plans and stuff organized and whatever. And I went back to work, and it was just like I felt like I'd been hit by a steamroller. So basically I find it just really, really challenging, working really long stretches of time with no breaks and then having breaks like really close to each other and stuff like that. So, basically I just want to know, my coach has got me set up. So I've got I do the protected, safe protected when I, finish work at the end of the day. But, like, I can be having major meltdowns at work, you know, in the middle of
the day. Wait, stop for a second. I'm sorry. I just need to understand what you're saying. So you're listening to Safe and Protected in the morning, did you say?
No. I'm doing the Living Abundance in the morning. And then I'm doing the Safe and Protected after I get home from work, when I finish work type thing. The evening one when I go to bed, so.
And when is the emotional thing happening?
Oh, it's happening when I'm at work. You know, I've just got pressure from so many people, and it's like, Cameron, you've got to get this done, you know, and it's just constant.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And there's 5 hours straight of that constant pressure before I get a lunch break of an hour, you know, and then I go off into another section at work. So I'm away from that section, but I'm in another section.
Yeah.
So, and it's a lot less stressful. But, yeah, those first 5 hours at work is extremely stressful, you know. I can be, like, a week ago at work and I'm like, I'm quitting now. They called the manager out, and he spoke to me because I was going to walk out the store. You know, it just got so bad.
But is it worse than it used to be? Let me just understand a couple of things.
It seems worse. Like, they moved me from different departments as well. So
okay.
I was in one department, and the girl that was working where I'm working now, they moved her into where I was working, and I'm now moved into her. You know, it's different stress. Both jobs are very stressful, but, you know, it's a different stress. Now I'm working, like, in a team of people where, you know, everybody's got to do their bit and, you know, do more than their bit, whereas before I was kind of like the lone ranger. I did, you know, I was, like, in control of that whole section, but then I had the responsibility of, you know, if there's no food in the store, it's my fault. So
yeah.
I found that stressful.
I guess I need to understand something. This is why I'm asking. I don't want to get too involved in the specifics of it. I want to understand something,
yep.
And you can answer this for me. The emotional
yep.
breakdowns that you're having, are they a result of something that's changed in your workplace or the visualizations that you're listening to?
I think it's just stuff in the work. It's just what goes on in work, you know, like everybody's stressed, so they're putting their stress on you, and then you're stressed, and then
Well, obviously, you know that not every working environment is like that.
No, I know. I am looking for another job.
Okay,
I just haven't found one yet.
That was my next question. You know, sometimes when the heat is a little bit too hot, you can get out of the oven. You know, is that? I just want to understand that it's not like you're married to this job and you can't live without it, and that's not where you're at, right? You're in a situation where you're looking at
another.
That sounds to me like a solution too. So what I would do is in your morning when you're doing the abundant living visualization, I would really focus on that new situation. You don't have to focus on exactly what the job is or where it is or what you're doing, but just the way it feels to go to work, you know, to feel success and ease and flow. It's almost like what Neil said in the beginning. What would it be like if it was easy?
When I do that one in the morning, I am really focused on, okay, yep, this is me in another job. You know, I do that now because, I just find that I need to.
What I'm going to say, and I agree with you, but what I'm going to say is don't focus or imagine this specific job. I want you to be in a place where you're saying, wow, this is really easy. That is that I'm making, you know, all of a sudden I'm making 20 times more money than I was, and I'm loving it, and it's really easy. Like that's the feeling I want you to be resonating and putting into your cells, so that you're gonna find that, you're gonna track that, and you're gonna go in that direction. So ask yourself in the mornings when you're doing the visualization, what would it be like if it were easy? And then imagine the feeling of being in the situation where it's just effortlessly easy.
Okay.
Let's focus on that for now, because that sounds like that's what has to happen.
Yep. So now, actually, when I'm in the situation when I'm like that, what can I do? Like, I know I have to keep working, but is there anything I can do to try and make it so that I'm not, like, stressed out of my brain while through this?
So the other thing I would do is I would imagine, while you're doing your morning visualization, I would imagine the day, how the day is going to go, and everybody going, can you do this, can you do that, but you feeling just this incredible feeling of relaxation and protectedness and this feeling that you're able to just listen to them and say, okay, you know, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, without you feeling the slightest bit of fear or stress or tension. I would imagine the day being like that. And then when you're in a situation where the stress is happening, I would imagine that kind of safe and protected thing happening, where, you know, you've got a column of light or angel wings or whatever is making you feel safe, whatever image you're using, they're right there with you throughout the day while you're feeling the stress.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, so I've got a comment to make as well. Like, before, when I was actually on my holidays and stuff, I actually got to a point where, you know, I wasn't feeling hungry and stuff like that. It was really good. Like, I could go from meal to meal. I still didn't feel hungry. And now that I'm back at work again, and it's just like, because everything's kind of like, the time frames and stuff aren't really suited around meal times. The first few days I went back to work, I spent like feeling like I was actually starving to death by the time I actually got my break to have something to eat, whereas I didn't have that before. So I feel like I've now been kicked back, you know, and so I do kind of feel like, you know, it's not that, you know, it feels like that empty feeling, but it's not really, I suppose, that I'm really hungry. It's just that, you know, you want to shove stuff in your mouth.
That's the stress. Stress is going to cause that, and that's why we focus on stress and emotional issues so much, because because that's what's causing it. So that's what we're trying to deal with here. So three strategies I would say is, when you're listening to the abundant one, living in the morning, imagine your new ideal life being easy, successful, effortless. Imagine that feeling. Then imagine your day going easy and effortless, and imagine yourself having that safe and protected column of light around you throughout the day. And then when you're in the real life situation, I'd like you to feel that actual feeling of love and protectedness around you while you're interacting with people.
Yeah.
Okay. And look, there's no question that you're going to need that some changes are going to happen. And so it's going to take a little bit of time, but that's where, or maybe it won't, I don't know, but that is what has to happen. And you can see that, and you can see how important that is, and how that stress is affecting you.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. Just be careful when you do make a change, that you're not jumping from the frying pan into the fire, because people do have a tendency to repeat patterns. So that's why I want you to do the visualization, so you can shift your patterns and create a situation that's easy for you. Okay?
Yep. Okay. Thank you.
My pleasure. Take care.
Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. Take care. Let's talk to Edwina in Sydney.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, John. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too, Edwina. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. I'm a bit nervous. I feel like I'm speaking to a superstar. So I've been I've been on the case study for about a month or two. I'm going into my second month, and I just wanted to share that the visualizations, how they've been really like I'm a fairly healthy eater anyway, but my weight has always been quite stuck, and I've just noticed the visualizations and the power they have on me, even just in the moment when somebody brings cake to work. And rather than going into automatic, like really being able to sit and go, actually, does my body want this right now? Actually, no, I might have my chalk seed ball and eat with people. So I'm really noticing the effect of the visualization, which is right, having an equivalent effect to what I used to take, as in like an anti, like a chromium or a appetite suppressant. So I wanted to ask you, with these visualizations, are you aware of like how long these effects have? And I'm doing a morning. I'm trying to do an afternoon. I'm actually trying to schedule in a visualization in my work schedule and an evening one. But what if I miss, like, what, do you know maybe from your observations, like, how long do these visualizations have an actual impact on the body, or is that just a really kind of...
Yeah, all right, so I'm going to... Okay, so there's two answers to that. The first is that every time you do a visualization, it changes you forever. Okay, and the reason that is because the way our brain circuitry works is we form habits. And the more you do something, the more it becomes a habit. So every time you do something, it's going to become more ingrained and more automatic and more subconscious and more unconscious and be changing you forever. That being said, the daily practice of visualization, and I still feel is essential on an ongoing basis, for dealing with just the stresses in your life and just the accumulated tensions that you have. So I do visualization every morning. It's just a meditation that I do. I imagine white light through my body. I imagine my life going and feeling the way I'd like it to feel. I imagine people having success in the approach that I'm doing. I imagine myself being healthy and happy. I do this every morning, and sometimes I just sit and feel this incredible bliss in my body and relaxation. But I'm not going to start my day without doing that. But I've been doing that for years now, and I know that if I never did it again, I'm a different person, then I'll always be a different person because of the work that I've done already. So it's going to change. Everything you're doing is going to change you forever every time you do it. But what you'll also find is you're going to want to do this. You're going to want to do something, some form of more visualization first thing in the morning for the rest of your life. And that to me is one of the goals, because you'll find that 10 years from now, what your life's going to be like is so dramatically different than what it otherwise would have been like, in terms of your overall health and success and calmness and happiness. You know, I walk around sometimes and I have this, I forget who it was, one of the Treasury secretaries, you know, back when I was working on Wall Street, used to talk about the market had irrational exuberance. And I find myself having that. I find myself having irrational exuberance. It's the only way I can describe it, where I just feel great for no reason. You know, there's no thought, there's no reason, nothing happened. But I just feel tremendous, and that I know is the accumulated results of the visualizations that I've been doing, just cleaning my body, calming my mind. And so you are going to want to do this for the rest of your life. But you'll probably do your own thing. You're not going to have to listen to me. You're just going to sit and feel that ball of white light, you know, and feel that energy running through your body, and it's going to change your life forever.
I'm very astute in doing it in the morning and in the evening. And in fact, my boyfriend says, you wake up with this John and you go to bed with this John. Who is he? But I am just fascinated about I'm a therapist, and I'm just really interested in the mind. And part of me just, you know, has been drummed, you know, to carb cycle, watch food, exercise a lot. And I'm really trying to mindfully not focus on that and focus on the visualizations and feeling safe in my body. And also for me, it's all about my body being constipated and tired, and that actually visualizations is supporting it to feel safe and okay, and it will do what it will do, and it's not the kilos on the scale. And I'm aware of it, but I can feel like old habits wanting to check how much I weigh. Oh, you haven't lost weight. What does this mean?
Yeah.
And but at the same time feeling, it feels like a transition phase, like the old and new, you know, the old kind of still there and the new coming in slowly, slowly.
Yeah, the old habits are going, new habits are coming, and the more you're doing the visualization, the more the new habits are being reinforced. And those new habits, especially, that's why I tell people when you're doing visualization, whatever it is you want to change in your life, when you're in that deep state, just imagine every cell of your body, like, you want to feel safe, you want to feel loved, you want to feel worthy, whatever it is, every cell of your body saying, I'm safe, I'm loved, I'm worthy, I deserve. I allow, I'm successful, whatever it is, you're just programming habit patterns into your body by doing that when you're in a deep state. It's such a powerful creative technique, and you can use it for the rest of your life for everything that you do.
Okay, so that's great. And so when I'm in that deep state, you know, I have things like I'm just one of those typical people, like sensitive to wheat and gluten and all those things. So I've been conscious of adding healthy, like a nourishing food to my body, and rather than you're not eating this or you're not eating that. But when I'm in my visualizations, is there something around the allergies that I should focus, or should I just let it be and just focus on being safe, and everything else kind of has a domino effect on it?
You can do anything with visualization. That's the beauty of it. What type of allergies are we talking about?
Oh, well, I should say intolerant. So like the lactose, the wheat, you know, I'm constantly bloated and constipated, irritable bowel, you know, all those.
So these are digestion issues. These are digestion issues. And I'll tell you one thing. Most people don't realize it, but wheat and dairy affects everyone. Some people, they can notice it in the form of food allergies, but they affect everyone adversely. Absolutely everyone. They cause inflammation, and inflammation activates your fat programs. They elevate your insulin levels. Elevating your insulin levels activates your fat programs. They affect your digestion. They can cause leaky gut syndrome, which means toxins are going into your system, which is overwhelming your immune system, which then causes all kinds of intolerances and allergies. So they affect everyone, and that's why we're always looking for suitable alternatives to wheat and dairy and grains and processed foods and things like that. So that's just something to know. But what I would do is we have a digestion visualization that should be in there. I would listen to digestion visualization. And when you're listening to it, I would also imagine your immune system getting really, really strong and going through your body and cleaning everything out, and your system just getting cleaner and cleaner.
Okay. Is that visualization in for the second month then? Because I wasn't in the first month.
The way the visualizations work is that there's a whole range of morning visualizations that you can choose from, and your coach will help you decide which ones. But you can go ahead and try some of the others. You can't go wrong with visualization, because it's always going to benefit you. So you might want to try the digestion one also in the morning instead of whichever other one you're listening to right now. You can kind of alternate or something like that.
Okay, John, thank you very much for your time.
My pleasure.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Take care, Edwina. Bye. Okay, let's talk to Kathy in Melbourne.
Hi, John. How are you?
Hi, Kathy. I'm good. How are you?
Excuse my voice. I've got the flu, so I'm a little bit froggy.
No, you're coming in loud and clear.
Oh, that's good. My question is the Gabriel Method oils. I noticed that you don't have olive oil listed, and that's pretty much the one that my family is really familiar with, and I was wondering what you think of, you know, olive oil.
Yeah, so olive oil we do use in some of the salad dressings because of the taste. You know, it's got a better taste than the flaxseed oil for most people, because flaxseed oil has like this kind of coating. So salad oils, we'll say you can mix it with olive oil. The reason why I don't recommend it very highly is it's higher in omega-6s than omega-3s, and that can cause a little bit of a problem. But you certainly don't want to cook with it. You know that, right?
No, I normally do.
Okay, let's talk about that. I just spray the pan.
Like, I don't pour a lot.
This is an important point, because if you're going to use olive oil, use it cold in your salad dressings.
Okay, but
if you're cooking, just use an oil that doesn't get corrupted in high temperatures, because it's more important whether the oil is an omega-3, an omega-6, a saturated oil, a medium chain saturated oil, polyunsaturated, whatever it is, it's more important that it's unrefined, cold pressed, and doesn't get corrupted at high temperatures. So olive oil will get corrupted at high temperatures, and then it becomes toxic. Coconut oil, ghee, which is a form of clarified butter, which is what I usually use and what I recommend.
Yeah.
And then cold-pressed rice bran oil. The reason why I recommend all of those three for cooking is they don't get corrupted at high temperatures.
Okay. Do you know anything about grapeseed oil? Because I've got
grapeseed
that one
oil
as well.
Too. Grapeseed oil, too. Yeah, it doesn't get corrupted at high temperatures. That's a good example. It does not get corrupted at high temperatures. Yeah, grapeseed oil is a good
one.
That's good. Yeah. So cook with that one.
I'm just concerned about the taste. Yeah, because my family, and I'd rather use what they're all familiar with. I didn't really want it, because I don't even know where to buy ghee. Do they sell that at the supermarket?
They sell it at health food stores.
Okay, health food stores.
But if not ghee, also just organic butter is not too bad, too, to cook with.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah, has it? Yeah. So I would not cook with olive oil.
Okay. Thanks very much for that.
My pleasure. Okay.
Thank you.
All right, we just have a couple of minutes left. I just want to bring Coach Mary Lane in just to touch base before we go. So Mary Lane, are there?
Yeah, I am. Hi.
Hi. How are you, Mary Lane?
Yeah, I'm great. Going into the second month with most of my clients right now.
And how's that going?
Do you want me to share something? Yeah, it's going well. Do you want me to share a story?
Go ahead.
I talked to Marnie today, and I asked her if she was doing the month on her own. And, you know, you just talked to Kate from Canada, right, saying the month is a long time?
I'm sorry, I didn't understand what you – can you say that again, please, Mary Lane? I missed a couple of the words.
Oh, no, that's fine. You were just talking to Kate from Canada, saying that, you know, the whole month going on her own, she had trouble with that?
Yes.
Yeah, so I talked to Marnie today, and she's a client of mine, and asked her about the same thing, actually, because, you know, we know that they're on their own for a month, and I asked her how she went about it, and she said, well, she was okay because she realizes that, you know, this whole process is a process, and it takes a long time to change, and she wanted to allow the change to happen and not be impatient. And she said most people are not aware of it, but it takes, this is her literal, what she said to me, it takes consistent effort. And she said, you know, negative thoughts are coming up all the time, you need to address them. And one of the negative thoughts is probably being impatient or not allowing the time or whatever. And she was just saying to herself that she chooses this path and she really wants it. And then she said the negativity just subsided and she could go on again. So she felt, go ahead.
I think Kate, like we pointed out something that I don't think she was aware of, which was, I think, making it too overwhelming for her, was she would get an idea about, like, for example, grass-fed meat and say, okay, that's the only meat we're supposed to have, you know. And if you latch on to too many thoughts like that, it becomes very overwhelming. Whereas if you just take the idea, oh, it's better to have grass-fed meat, I'll look for it when I can get it, then it does become overwhelming. So if you just focus on the specific things that you were talking about doing with your coach, listening to this visualization and that visualization and having a snack here or some water here, just focus on those specific things. And then whatever other information comes to you, you just take it as extra information that maybe you can use, maybe you can't in any given situation. Then it doesn't become overwhelming.
I agree. And, you know, the mind sometimes runs a lot. Thoughts in your head. So maybe that's one of the problems as well, that we sometimes listen too much to what our heads have to say, right?
Yeah, exactly. Cool. All right. So, anything else you want to leave our
I have kind of a funny question. It's not mine, but someone asked me. So she said, if you smoke pot, would listening to the visualization come in better? This is a question I have to ask you. Yeah.
If you smoke pot, say
yeah.
it again.
If you smoke and pot and you would listen to the visualization, would that, you know, be better than listen to it without it? That was the question.
Yeah. Yeah, well, the whole idea of doing the visualization is the reason why we smoke pot or do drugs or drink or any of these things is to put ourselves in a calm, pleasurable, stress-free state. The problem with the drugs is that there's a price, a really big price, because of the toxic effect of it and how it lowers your energy. And then,
mm-hmm.
and those things end up causing our bodies to hold on to weight. So, but the more you do visualization, you get into that pleasurable state, because it's the same chemicals, and it's the same, you've got these chemical receptors, and you've got these chemical opiates in your body. It's all inside you. You don't need the drugs. The whole reason why drugs are pleasurable is because they stimulate these receptors in our brain for chemicals that we already have, but we're not producing.
Mm-hmm.
So when your brain learns how to produce them, you feel that way all the time. I'm sure that most of the time I feel like, I just feel really, really good, the way most people only feel after they've been very heavily chemically induced and enhanced.
Yeah.
So, and that's simply because my brain is producing those chemicals now. So the answer is no. It's not gonna be better for you, and it's not gonna get you into a deeper state. It's
mm-hmm.
sort of, you know, and if it is, you're gonna have to pay back with interest. You know, it's a little bit like borrowing from Peter to pay Paul. You're
mm-hmm.
you're sort of buying time, is all you're doing. But just the daily practice of visualization is going to put you in a deeper and deeper state, and going to create those chemicals inside you that are meant to be released by your body when your body's really, really healthy and your mind's really calm, and that are naturally pleasurable. And that's the whole reason why drugs are pleasurable, is because they stimulate those receptors. But your brain's going to do it automatically. But it's not
yeah.
going to do it if you're relying on the drugs. So unfortunately, that's not going to.
Okay. So would you say that you can you do too many visualizations in one day? Or suppose you have a whole day off and you just want to visualize the whole day. Would that be okay? Or can you get an overload or something?
I don't think you can overload on it. I don't think I don't recommend listening to them all day by any means. But there's no adverse effect that can come from being in that state that
mm-hmm.
I've ever heard of or experienced.
Mm-hmm.
And I've spent all days where not many, but I have spent days where most of the day maybe I'm not listening to visualization, but I'm actually in a meditative state, and those days have been really positive experiences for me, and they can be life changing, but I don't know of any adverse effects of doing that, but I again, it is extreme and I think unnecessary, and I think there's much more to be gained by having a sustainable life where you're listening in the morning, you're listening at night, you're making some positive changes, and you're letting the whole thing unfold at a natural rate.
Yeah, at a natural pace. Just
yeah.
go with it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
Cool. All right, great. Well,
thank
keep up
you.
The great work, Mary Lane. I really appreciate
thank
it.
You.
I know your clients do too. We get a lot of really good feedback from all our coaches.
Oh,
yeah,
I'm really happy to do this work. It's very gratifying.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. All right. Well, thanks very much for coming on.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Okay. See ya. Okay, so that's it for today. Again, we're going to have now two group calls a month. So we're going to have one at our normal time, which is usually around midday Sydney, Australia time, and evening in the U.S., somewhere between 6 and 9, depending where you are, time zones. We'll have one there, and then we'll have one at this time. So every couple of weeks we'll have that. And, of course, I have my office hours. If you have any questions, you can talk to me. So thanks very much, and keep up the great work, everyone, and let's keep going. So take care. Thanks for again.